I'm John Aran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
How are you feeling after last night's loss to the Chiefs? It's Dukes and Bell. We're talking about it with you on a Falcon Monday, guys. Sunday Night Football, first and foremost, we showed up. Falcon fans were in the building. And it felt good. It looked good. Congratulations going out to Arthur Blank for going into the Ring of Honor. Matt Ryan is next, by the way. But it was one of those things, Mike, the build-up and the lead-up all day long. We said, pace yourself. Many of you did. But there was noise in the building, man. And in those moments where we needed to be loud, I thought we were. So great job by the home team's fan base. We got to be even louder Sunday. Saints. Okay? And it just means more. Now, doesn't mean Mike and I didn't want to beat the Chiefs. Of course we did. And we made too many mistakes last night, shot ourselves in the foot. You are not going to beat championship caliber teams, guys, with the best quarterback in the league by making the mistakes we made. It's just not going to happen. So you have to tip your cap a little bit to the Chiefs and say, hey, yeah, they got the job done. But, Mike, I'm having a hard time today tipping my cap to this officiating crew.
Now, look, guys, you make your own breaks. I get it. And I know most folks would say, look, it's a loser's argument when you start bringing the officials in, just like we bring the ups into base. But sometimes they are a big, big part of the story, and you can't ignore it. And what makes this thing, you know, to such a fine point is the Bengals had the Chiefs on the ropes. It's fourth down, and there was contact there, and they got the call. And this one was much more egregious, I think, on what you saw with Pitts. Now, some guys are saying, look, if Cousins can get the ball out with a little more mustard, a little more, you know, height, and, you know, maybe Pitts tries to high point it, then it's going to be obvious, and there's no way they can ignore it. Maybe they do, maybe they don't. I mean, this is what we just argued about last hour. These NFL officials, I don't think there's the level of accountability that Roger Goodell would have you believe there is. You can't review it. Rich McKay and the guys, they gave it to us. They basically, for the Saints and the Benson family, said, you know what? You guys got screwed. We're going to review replay. We're going to replay pass interference. And then they took it away. Why? Why? Why even go? See, that's the thing. Why even bother doing it? It's a big moment in the game. It's changed football games. It certainly, look, the Chiefs are 2-1 without it. They lose to the Bengals. So it's just big. So I don't think it's a loser's argument, guys, when everybody and their uncle, who doesn't even have a vested interest in the Falcons, is saying, man, they got screwed on Sunday night.
Yeah, and there has to be consistency. Like, listen, calls are going to be missed, but if you have a chance to get them corrected, to Mike's point, that should be the situation with the league. The league should want to make these calls be the right calls. Now, with that said, we didn't do the things we needed to do last night. Running the football effectively, we didn't do that. We didn't do enough of it. Third downs, we were terrible. 2 for 9 on third downs, Mike. Over the last two games, by the way, we are 3 of 17 over the past 2 weeks on third down. That's not going to get it done.
Yeah, it's just the third down. And I guess the only reason I said to you earlier, the reason I'm not really wigging out, like normally I'd come in here, I'd be miserable, I'd scream and, you know, yell and rant and rave. I just think we're still scratching the surface with Cousins. But the offensive line thing is a concern. We did get some good news. Caleb McGarry, they say, is day-to-day. Going to have to wait and see when Dahlman's going to come back. But you got your run game, which is our bread and butter, completely taken away by the Chiefs last night. And you saw what happens in the second, Carl, in the second half. We couldn't do anything, you know, as far as trying to run that football.
No, it was pitiful. I mean, to be quite honest. Now, again, we didn't have two of our starting offensive linemen in there. I do think that makes a big deal. As to what you can do. It does limit you with certain calls that you're able to run. But nevertheless, we weren't able to get it done. 404-726-0929. This hour is brought to you by Status Truck and Trailer Repair, driven by Excellence Building Successful Partnerships. 6 o'clock, you'll hear the coaches show and the player segment coming up tonight, as you'll hear Coach Raheem Morris talk about correcting some of the things that we got wrong. By the way, before we get into our blitz, Kyle Pitts, he did catch a big ball. It was a 50-yard reception, Mike. But I still need more. I need more Pitts. I need more of the things that we were attempting to do in the red zone, which was what Mike and I have talked about. That was a mismatch. Ball placement wasn't where it needed to be, but that's what you need to create.
Right. And, you know, sometimes, you know, the penalty is a byproduct of creating an advantage for your player on the defensive player. He's got to make a penalty. You're getting the ball at the 1 yard line, and maybe we punch it in. Cousins, you know, he's not there yet, I don't think. Mahomes, last night all Mahomes was saying is there's a million things they got to work on. They're not even close. They're 3-0. I like to be 3-0 right now and have a bunch of things to work on because they're not humming just yet. They're doing it without their big pieces. You said it. what you'd expect. Carson Steele, the guy with the alligator, blonde hair, comes in and runs for 72 yards and grinds. But it did enough to keep the Falcons honest and never have to respect their run game.
Well, that was the thing without Pacheco. We wondered who was going to step up. That kid did step up. It's Dukes and Bell. Big O's behind the glass, our engineer. Turtle, our executive producer. Let's get to an NFL Blitz! There were surprises all around the National Football League yesterday. Now, the one that stood out to me, Mike, is what happened with the Raiders as Carolina goes out and whips the Raiders. And not only did they whip them, after the game, Antonio Pierce was like, look, I think some of my guys quit.
Business decisions, he said.
That's what he's saying. He's saying guys didn't give it their all. They didn't sell out. Carolina guy scores 36 points. The biggest thing about this game is Andy Dalton steps in, becomes the first quarterback this season to throw for 3 touchdowns in a game. He threw for over 300 yards in this game.
The only guy this week to throw for 300 yards, by the way.
And they won. Maybe Bryce Young is not that good.
Yeah, I mean, the Red Rifle came in and looked pretty darn good. And that's a game that, like, Antonio Pierce, you know, be careful when you play that card because you don't want to lose the locker room. He's
correct.
Telling you guys that they quit.
Yeah.
You know, and they're making – I saw the quote this morning on NFL Network. He's making business decisions. But, yeah, that's why we love the NFL because you just never know what you're going to get. Vikings at home just beat the snot out of the Texans. C.J. Stroud, they were getting all after him, man. And this is the great thing about, you know, the NFL. You can suck – get to a new location, get a new lease on life, and you can be that guy, and that guy is Sam Darnold.
Coaching matters.
Sam Darnold working, you know, with that coaching staff, and let's be honest, he had post-traumatic stress disorder leaving the Jets. He goes to San Francisco, he bounces around, and he's on a one-year deal right now. He's going to get more than a one-year deal if he keeps this up.
Agreed. And he got a chance in San Francisco, Mike, to kind of sit, learn.
Right.
Shanahan really helped him out there. But you're right. That is a pleasant surprise if you are a fan of the Minnesota Vikings.
Kevin O'Connell doing a nice job.
He is. He is. And meanwhile, the Cowboys can't stop a nosebleed. Ravens ran all over them yesterday. This score is not indicative of how this beatdown happened. Ravens were up, guys, big in this game, and they allowed the Cowboys to creep back in. Mm-hmm. It's 28-25. But, Mike, the Cowboys are 1-2. I bring this up because, you know, again, they took care of CeeDee Lamb. They took care of Dak. But it's not the offense, Mike. Their defense right now is awful.
Right.
And teams are running. We saw the Saints run the ball on them. Ravens came right in and said, we'll do the same thing, and ran the ball down their throat.
I guess it was for the Red Rifle, 300 yards and a win this week because Dak threw for 379 with 2 touchdowns. But you said it was too little too late in that fourth quarter. You know, this was a huge, huge game for the Ravens. Imagine starting 0-3 in Baltimore. And, you know, we told you how great the odds go, even with that team. I still think that's a team that could start 0-3 and still find a way to make the playoffs. But Derrick Henry, not that complicated, right, for Todd Monken. He had a huge day, 151 yards. And then Jerry Jones goes, we couldn't afford him. Don't have enough money for Derrick Henry.
Yeah, all right, whatever.
I am a pleaser.
Yeah, we've heard.
But I could not. Carl, we didn't have the money.
I heard that, Jerry. Malik Willis, by the way, hometown kid. Packers are winning without Jordan Love. To me, Mike, I did not expect this. And they beat the Titans 30-14. Malik Willis managed the game 13-19, 202 yards, threw a touchdown. But he didn't throw a pick, Mike. He didn't turn it over. They had 3 sacks, but the kid is playing composed. And all of a sudden now, without Jordan Love, the Packers are 2-0.
Yep, and that's Matt LaFleur. He's a great coach. Could have been offensive coordinator for us in 17, but wasn't ready yet. Got Sark in here, didn't know the offense. But, yeah, I love the job that LaFleur is doing there. Speaking of great offensive minds, 49ers. And if you feel bad about being 1-2, the 49ers are 1-2, Carl.
Yeah, the Rams. Listen, Sean McVay may be the best coach in this league. They are banged up. And yesterday, nobody really gave him a shot against the 49ers, who are banged up in their own right. But the Rams, Mike, rally from double digits to win this game. And it was the way that this game played out. When you needed plays and all of a sudden the Rams started making them, this is one of the most entertaining games of the day yesterday. 27-24 was the final score. But, yeah, man, here.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
I'm John Aran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Rams are going through it right now, and they find a way to beat their division rival.
Tutu Atwell with four receptions for 93 yards. Great name. Tutu Atwell out of Louisville. But yeah, and if you didn't see it, because you know, no one in Los Angeles is a fan, and it's so weird the transient nature of having the Rams and the Chargers there. It's like 70,000 49er fans at SoFi yesterday. There's a video that's going viral of it. It's insane. So that's what they've got to deal with. So yeah, you got Matthew Stafford having to go on a silent count basically the entire game, but they get it done. The other storylines from the weekend, I don't know. I've got Anthony Richardson on my fantasy team, so I keep track of him. He's grinding.
Yeah.
And they're close. He's missing. He's just missing on some big throws, and maybe he gets there, maybe he doesn't. Caleb Williams throws for 363 yards in that loss, but you know, two touchdowns, two picks, and the run game. The Bears could not get the run game at all, and that's where basically the Colts took that away and let Caleb Williams say, okay, beat Caleb Williams, you can beat us. Meanwhile, Jonathan Taylor rushes for 110 yards. So I think 167 yards, 10 of 20 for Richardson Carl with two picks, and they found a way to win. But he's killing my fantasy team right now. He's not consistent.
Giants, no, he's not consistent. Giants sacked Deshaun Watson eight times yesterday.
Eight?
Eight times.
Eight?
Eight times. Deshaun Watson threw for 196 yards, Mike. 196. The Browns lose to the Giants 21-15. The Giants don't scare anybody. They have nothing. And the point I'm getting to is the Browns may be the biggest disappointment when this season is all said and done, and this, again, will go down as one of the worst trades in the history of the NFL, if not the worst, based on the guaranteed money. Deshaun Watson, Mike, 21-37. He looks shell-shocked. And yesterday the Giants are getting after his butt, and I'm like, the Giants going to win this game? They were a 6.5-point underdog.
Yeah, and the other thing for the for Cleveland now, in addition to Deshaun not living up to that contract, is Myles Garrett apparently has had this foot issue, which goes back to like when he was a teenager, which first I'm hearing about it, and he's showing up on the injury report. Apparently he is playing through basically agony.
Yeah, that boy got bad feet, man.
With his feet.
That boy got bad feet.
Well, it's the agony of defeat for Garrett, no joke.
Hey, man, Steelers are 3-0. And they beat the Chargers. Mike brought up Justin Herbert. He's not on your team, is he? He's
no.
Not. Okay.
Kyler Murray's on my team.
Oh, okay.
You know I'm going to go pick up on waivers?
Shh. Don't. You going to tell everybody?
Look, I've won this week. So
guys, listen to you, Mike. They're going to do what you do.
Sam Darnold.
Oh, that's a good pickup.
Go get Sam Darnold in your fantasy league if your quarterbacks are sucking. Sam Darnold.
That's a good pickup.
I'm whispering on 100,000-watt radio.
If he's available, and then there are guys in my league who just, stack players to hold on to them.
Yeah, there's nothing worse than guys who are just sitting on town.
I hate you guys.
Yeah. I rolled the dice with Richardson and Murray, and Murray's still a work in progress with Marvin Harrison Jr.
Steelers are 3-0. They win against the Chargers. The big story in this game was that Herbert re-aggravated that ankle sprain. And basically now this is going to be week to week. You could go an entire season with Herbert in limbo. And that does not bode well for Harbaugh and the Chargers.
And the great news is the Saints just, because Gacked it away, the Eagles did everything in their power to blow that game. And then Dallas Goedert was just a one-man gang and all the receivers get knocked out. We talked about Devontae Smith and that hit. So we get a 2-1 Saints team, Carl, coming here this weekend.
Coming up, game balls, no balls. We'll hand them out. And yes, I'm giving a no balls to you, guessed it. Stay right there. We're going to hand out some game balls, no balls along the way. Also coming up, we are going to get a chance to talk to Connor Riley. It is a big week for the Dogs as they get ready to head to Tuscaloosa this upcoming weekend. Both teams were off. So who benefited most? Who got the most work in and corrected some of the problems that Georgia has seen here over the first few weeks? I think Carson Beck talked about it, Mike, and we'll talk with our buddy Connor Riley in about 35 minutes. They have some things they need to clean up. I'm hoping that they get those things cleaned up. The bigger question for me is, you know, some of the injuries that they've sustained. Are these guys going to be back in time for the Alabama game?
Yeah, we've talked a lot about the shuffling in the offensive line, and that's a concern, especially going on the road. And, by the way, Arch Manning, I thought, was a mixed bag. I mean, you know, he did look good coming in relief of Quinn Ewers. I still think you, as a Texas fan, I think you would be probably happy to see Quinn Ewers back for Georgia because Arch.
Agreed.
I think Georgia could throw some things at Arch that could create some more turnovers. He had a lot of yards throwing, but it was uneven, I think, is what most Longhorns fans are saying about the win over Monroe. But getting back to Georgia, you know, the Carson Beck's got to be a rock star. You know, at some point you got to go turn it on and be the guy that I think that Kirby, the continuance of going with the most experienced player, but he's got to elevate the game. This is one of those games that calls for some rock star stuff.
It does. It's going to be the biggest challenge of the season so far, and hopefully we get a great game, but the Dog's going to have to be, you know, damn near perfect, Mike, on road to handle this because Alabama presents some problems. We'll talk
about it. I was talking about Texas. That's coming up. But Alabama, I think you saw with Jalen Milroe, the way they went up to Wisconsin, and certainly the way they handled the physicality of USF 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
I think that's certainly something. I wonder, is there anything in the USF game plan Georgia can emulate? Other than, you know, what kind of guys on their front seven can create some of the things that the USF was able to do the last 2 years?
Listen, if you weren't able to run the ball against Kentucky, okay, and you weren't, it makes you wonder, like, okay, are you good? I feel like all the things that needed to be corrected in that particular game, and again, it is week to week in the SEC, will be corrected. Mm-hmm. I do not think Kirby is going to allow those things to persist. But that was a struggle. And if you get in the game against Alabama and are unable to run the football effectively, that is what you're talking about with Beck. Now there is more pressure on him to deliver with the football down the field. We'll talk more about that. Let's hand out some game balls, no balls. We talked about Andy Dalton. Listen, I did not think I would be handing out a game ball to Andy Dalton anytime soon. But we have to because he balled out. And even though I still think Carolina is not a good football team, I think all the circumstances came together at the right time, and he played well enough to get them a victory on the road. The Raiders, you heard their head coach, Antonio Pierce, say, guys made business decisions. That means quitting. I got to give Andy Dalton a game ball.
Game balls.
And an empty set. Trips to the right. Here's the snap. Pocket holds. Andy throwing. Downfield. Thielen. Did he hang on? Touchdown.
So much for going for the field goal, right?
Hey, I was wrong.
Blood in the water.
What happens if you convert a big third down?
So that was because winning feels good, and he ended up giving a game ball to Andy Dalton. Now, what happens the rest of the season? I don't know. As one of our listeners said, Carolina kind of exists in our division, right? It's Saints, it's us.
Right.
And for Tampa, we'll find out pretty quickly here. Those are our next two games, guys.
And I guess now the only question now for the Carolina Panthers, back to the drawing board, because obviously, you know, the Red Rifle's not the long-term answer. Are they going to try? Is somebody going to come with an offer to get Bryce Young off the roster before the trade deadline? We don't really see it like Major League Baseball, but you know, we've seen some moves in the NFL the last couple of years. And would it be maybe the Dolphins get some strange news on Tua? I know you brought that up last week. I'm curious to see. The Dolphins, by the way, couldn't get any worse. I know this isn't a game ball, but Skylar Thompson gets hit in the ribs. So they're down to a guy, I think it was Boyle that came in and just literally signed a contract with them, but you know the playbook. So that was the easiest money I made this week was the Seattle game.
Hey, man, let's give out a game ball to Geno. You talk about it. Seattle, Geno Smith guys to DK Metcalf, they deserve a game ball.
Game balls.
Geno out of the shotgun. McIntosh in the game, and now he swings out to the left side. Geno steps up in the pocket, looks, holds, throws deep, got DK open, 30, 20, 15, 10, 5, runs away from Miami, touchdown, Seahawks.
He's pretty fast, by the way, that DK Metcalf.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he just runs away from people. But listen, Seattle, I said this, they've taken on the attitude of their head coach, Coach McDonald there, and I think, Mike, they're going to be a problem. That division is interesting. If the 49ers keep clowning around, Seattle's going to be in the mix. I'm telling you, the Rams are going to get healthy. They already beat the 49ers. That could be very interesting to see how that shakes out.
When you think about the Rams doing it without the, you know, the big-time studs, without Cooper Kupp, without Puka Nacua, you know, just getting it, just doing the work. And the 49ers, yeah, I mean, I think you feel Shanahan will figure it out at 1-2, but you're right. And but the McCaffrey thing is still hanging over their heads.
Yes, it is. Yeah, that's the biggest
one.
He
stirs the drink.
Mike, let's give up no balls to Coach Roth for not kicking the field goal. This isn't 2020. This is me screaming, kick, take the points!
Take the points.
Take the point. We got the ball back. We still had plenty of time to even go down and get a game-winning field goal, potentially. I did not like the decision. This is not, again, hindsight's 2020. In the moment, we are fighting for our lives. We have the best field goal kicker in the game. Kick the field goal, and let's take our chance. No balls.
No balls.
And, Mike, we can't get fourth and inches. We can't get fourth and inches. I didn't like the play call, but, Mike, we got to get those plays. No balls to the O-line and everybody involved in that play.
No balls.
Finding out that Cousins, again, maybe he wasn't feeling it with Nuzil under center after we lost Drew Dahlman. McGarry comes out for Norton. There was a couple of plays where the Chiefs literally, I mean, you said it. Spagnuolo just kind of released the hounds and really got after it. We didn't have any sacks, by the way. They had two sacks on Kirk Cousins. You know, if I had told you when we were doing the show yesterday at Signy, and boy, what a scene that was. Good times. If you hadn't been up there, surprise how many Falcon fans. It wasn't just Chiefs fans. We had a lot of our listeners had a blast up there at the Nest on 4. You guys hadn't been there yet. It's pretty breathtaking, the view of the stadium and everything else. But if I had told you yesterday that Kelce is going to be kept out of the end zone and is only going to have like 50 yards receiving, 30 yards receiving, and we're going to hold the Chiefs to 22 points, a bunch of field goals.
I wouldn't have believed you. I wouldn't have believed
you. Think we're going to lose? We're
going to win. I wouldn't have believed you, Mike. If you said that, because we kept wondering yesterday.
Is Kelce going to wake it up?
Yeah, and here this we is go. One right. of our fears. We kept saying, do not let it happen against us. It didn't. And we still were unable to pull it out. Hey, let's give a Lamar Jackson a game ball. Guys, here's what's crazy. Do you guys know Lamar Jackson is 21-1 against NFC teams?
Nice.
21-1. Now, yesterday he made the play that they needed to make in the fourth quarter to basically run the clock out. But Baltimore's receivers, 146 yards after the catch, Mike. That's yak yesterday. Cowboys defense is terrible. Give a game ball to Lamar.
Game balls.
Let's also give a game ball to the Rams. We mentioned this, and I want you to hear Sean McVay after the win. But Kyren Williams, 4-yard run, it ties it up at 24. Rams go on to win in overtime. Game ball.
Game balls.
Check at the line by Stafford. Tutuetla goes in motion. Return motion stays right. Pump draw. Handoff. Kyren Williams. Touchdown. Rams. Opened up wide. Will they go for two or will they go for one?
This was a game, we said it was like a home field for the San Francisco 49ers. They took over SoFi Stadium. Honorary game ball. Look, Justin Fields is doing what they're asking of him in that offense with, you know, with our old buddy Art. A touchdown, a pick, 245. Also, you know, not really running. He basically did it in the pocket. It wasn't like he only had 6 yards running. But the Steelers, when you got a defense like that, you don't have to get crazy. It really is. You know, Tomlin kind of being conservative, but they're 3-0 in Pittsburgh, and Russell Wilson hasn't seen the field.
Mike, is he going to?
I think there's no reason to change horses midstream now, right?
No. And my whole thing with this was I always thought that if you wanted to go this way, I felt like Justin was going to be the guy. I know people say he wasn't. But if you were going to start Russell Wilson, I always felt it was easier to go away from him and do this than it would have been to start Justin, have him struggle, go to Russ, then come back. Either way, they're 3-0. He's not going anywhere. Let's hear Mike Tomlin and give the Steelers a game ball.
Game balls.
He's doing an awesome job doing what we're asking him to do, playing and playing to win. And so that's appreciated.
I guess that's it. Huh? Is that easy?
I mean, it's funny. You know, that's basically vintage Tomlin.
It is.
I'm not going to give you more than you need.
He's doing an awesome job doing what we're asking him to do, playing and playing to win. And so that's appreciated.
It's appreciated.
How the hell did Denver beat Tampa Bay?
Baker was not good.
One pick, 7 times they got after him.
Mm-hmm. He was not good.
But I mean, this is why when we talk about this division, the Saints, obviously, you know, they were the most prolific offense the first 2 weeks. And then Philadelphia, the same Philly team we beat, shuts them down, save for that one last throw from Carr. Man, can we get that heat on Carr? Because, you know, you.
He'll throw it to you.
He will gack it up.
He'll throw it to you.
You get in his face. That's Carr's M.O. He'll throw it all over the place, turn it over.
Vikings quarterback Sam Darnold, by the way, has no structural damage to his knee. He only missed a play yesterday, but they were concerned against the Packers. He'll keep rolling. He's starting for J.J. McCarthy, who was supposed to be the guy they drafted. So Mike mentioned it. One-year deal. Sam Darnold, if he takes the Vikings to the playoffs, Mike, he'll be somewhere else next year making a lot of money.
Needless to say, no balls for the refs, not having the balls to make the call. But as we said, you know, there's moments in the game. That was huge. Justin Simmons saying that play isn't why we lost. But it did hurt. It certainly was a big moment.
Yeah, man, no man's coming up. Also, we'll talk dogs in Bama, and we'll do that all week long. It's the biggest matchup of the weekend, not in just the SEC, but across the board as the dogs in Alabama lock up in Tuscaloosa on Saturday. That's on the way in less than 30 minutes. Stay there. It's Dukes and Bell on a Falcon Monday. We've got Metallica tickets for you. Stay there. We'll give those away between now and 6 o'clock. Tonight, we got two NFL Monday Night Football games, by the way. Jacksonville at Buffalo, Washington at Cincinnati. We will join the second game in progress after game one is done, but you'll hear both right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Coming up, we'll talk dogs at 4 o'clock. Just got a friendly reminder from our buddy Jerome. Want my money, Jerome? That Alabama and Georgia, and he just wanted us to know that Alabama owns Georgia. And I said, Jerome, we are aware of that, and I'm sure Georgia's got a little chip on their shoulder. So
when they play in Indiana, it works out well.
No, of course, for the national championship. But he's already feeling it, Mike, and I'm not surprised. He was like, man, miss seeing y'all. Just want to roll tide. Thank you, Jerome.
Jerome, the guy, if you've not been up to our residency at Hooters that we do during Falcons camp, yeah, he's like literally become like part of the – he's the attraction.
He's the attraction.
He's a trip. He's a maniac, and he's a But anyway, yeah. but we talked about it earlier. We'll ask Connor Riley. Can Carson Beck, you know, be that rock star, which I think you need for Alabama and the Texas game?
I agree. That's on the way. More on the game last night as well. Falcons lose. We had our opportunities, and the officiating sucked. It just did. Right now, let's get to Yeah Man, No Man. What's going on? Hope you had a good weekend. It would have been better if we won last night, but how was your weekend?
It's pretty good, not going to lie. Got out of here about 1:30 last night with the whole crew.
Okay.
Mike Johnson, Chris Goforth, Dylon Matthews, who I think is still here, by the way, working. I don't know. We got to get that kid right, man.
Well,
his work-life balance is way off.
I've heard that there's somebody, don't talk about me when I'm not there, has told him he needs to be here a little bit longer.
I'm your supervisor. I'm the meat man. You will work a 12-hour shift.
I'm the meat man.
Yeah, I don't know if that's true, but that's what I've heard.
So, I'm paid to talk.
Yeah, so I'm with you, Dylan.
I'm a man, I can tell you that.
So, funny story this morning, right around the time we were supposed to have our show call, I found out that there were grown men looking for my underwear.
Excuse me?
Yeah. So you see what had happened was I had gotten, multiple deliveries over the weekend, which I was unable to gather.
Cause you were working.
Cause I was working and I was spending time with the girlfriend and the whole thing.
Okay.
So we have one of those.
You want to expound on that part of it?
No, I don't, Carl.
Okay. Dukes.
I think.
Is this the same girlfriend who destroyed your bed?
Just asking.
No comment. neither here nor there. Not, as you like to say, Mike, not germane to this conversation.
The germ has got nothing to do with it.
So we have one of those big boxes in our mail delivery room that holds packages so people don't steal them.
Right.
Turns out there was a little miscommunique between the people loading and the people telling me that my packages were available. So I had to go downstairs this morning, in which several grown men were attempting to find my packages, which included
underwear,
some new drawers.
Yeah.
So I had several grown men in-depth searching for my underwear this morning, gentlemen.
Aren't there tracking numbers on this stuff? Oh, come on.
But they screwed it all up.
So do you have like a giant room where they put all the boxes basically at your building?
Yeah,
like my old high-rise?
Exactly.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
So, and that sometimes is not as organized as you
like
it.
No, it's supposed to be, and they take pictures of it and everything, but my underwear was MIA.
No underpants.
So you don't have the box?
I don't have it yet. Supposedly, by the time I get home, the issue is supposed to be sorted out.
So I guess we
somebody
call
took
you,
your new draws, bro.
Call you Captain Underpants today.
Exactly. Had to reach deep into the pile to grab, you know, the ones where the strap is hanging on for dear life.
We'll keep them forever. We're men.
Yeah.
We'll keep them for the holes.
I've talked about this. I find, in my personal experience, that the old Navy generally seem to be the cheapest ones that last the longest. In my experience, you know, eventually you do get, you know, they start to get a little, you know. Look like the moths have gotten into them or something. But for what it's worth, those are the most inexpensive and longest lasting. Because I've done like the other ones that are, there's some you see on TV, Carl, it's a ripoff. It's a ripoff.
The ones with the holes in them, though, are so comfortable. I'm just saying. It's with men. It's just what it is. I'm like, my wife's like, it's got a hole in it. So what? It feels good.
But if you put on your underpants.
Character.
Yeah, but if one of your testicles slips through that hole, then that's obviously you got to cash those in.
I think there's a size limit, Mike, to the holes that we're talking about.
You do have a point there, Mike.
All right. Speaking of
slippage.
Slippage.
Image, yes.
Yeah, speaking of slippage. One quarterback.
Is it the beans or the Frank?
Yeah, one former quarterback in the NFL is quite frankly getting physically ill from the slippage in quarterback play. This is what Kurt Warner tweeted out. I rarely turn off the tape without watching every significant snap, but right now I am fighting that rule because the quarterback play I am watching is that bad. In parentheses, it's making me physically uneasy. To watch. Yeah, man, no man. Has the quarterback play been that bad from what you've seen so far?
Well, remember we joked around on yesterday's show, Carl, that Mel Kiper, great, do your draft analysis, don't talk about the actual games. He was saying that they got to ban the too high safety because young quarterbacks can't figure it out. Oh, really? Like, you know, Peyton Manning and Tom Brady were able to find a way to figure it out. Russ, you know, Patrick Mahomes seemed to find. You know, it's just, yes, we are at a period now, and I think, Carl, you touched on this yesterday. Quarterbacks don't get to develop anymore. You know, if you draft a quarterback in the top 10, that guy's got to be thrown to the wolves, and either he sinks or swims. Whereas, you know, for every Jordan Love or Aaron Rodgers, we get to sit, you know, for a couple of years and soak it in, and Michael Penix Jr. will get that experience at least 2 years here. Other guys, you know, in a big market, and then poof, and they're out. And so right now, yeah, it's a low point for quarterback play, but I think it's just because so many franchises like Carolina have just screwed up the quarterbacks.
Is he talking about the mistakes that are being made or just the fundamental play? See, here's the deal. If Tom Brady on these broadcasts, and by the way, he did a really good job. I thought he was better yesterday.
More personality?
Yeah, but then the first couple of weeks. But if Brady or Romo or any of these quarterbacks on these broadcasts start talking about the fundamentals of quarterback play, Mike, footwork, you know, how the shoulders should be turned and whatnot, is he talking about those kinds of things when Kurt Warner is diagnosing these quarterbacks, or is he simply saying the quarterback play has been that bad across the board?
No, he's saying from doing his deep dive film study that he does every week, it's that bad.
Okay, because the thing that I do know is scoring is down. And we talked about this. When you only have a quarterback yesterday, you know, and Andy Dalton, who's like the least likely guy to have this statistic when you start talking about 300 yards and three touchdowns, that should be the norm across the board for these elite guys. Patrick Mahomes hasn't done that, guys. He hasn't in these first 3 weeks. You know, Dak Prescott, his team's losing. He leads the league right now in passing yards. But they're not winning football games, and his completion percentage is down. It's not 68 or 70%. It's 60%. Mike, I think when you start talking about a Matthew Stafford, you go, all right, well, how many touchdowns does he have on the season? Two. These are elite, or allegedly, some of them. Patrick Mahomes certainly is. But these are supposed to be the guys that you go, all right, they should be off to great starts. That's not the case. So I'm with Kurt Warner on this. I don't know why. And this gets back to Mike's point. It was the first game, just an extension of the preseason, and now we're getting going?
Yeah, C.J. Stroud, four touchdowns, two picks. Goff's got three touchdowns, four picks. Stafford, 2-1, only 2-1. Hurts has got three touchdowns, four picks. And these are some of the better guys. Geno, 3-3. Purdy's got 4-1, touchdowns to picks. Dak Prescott, you know, the guy, highest paid quarterback in the league, Carl. Four touchdowns, two picks. Percentage at 60.7%. Not great.
No.
Well, if you look at the NFL, it's interesting, right? Because it's almost like a flat circle. You go back to the 60s and the 70s, defense ruled the day. Then in the 80s, offenses started to break out. 90s, you had the Ravens, you had the Giants. So then the 2000s, Brady comes along. So is it just, are we now evolving back into an era where defense is going to be the key in the NFL? I mean, they always say, what's the cliche, guys, right? Defense wins championships. Is that where we are right now? Because for the last 4 or 5 years, it's been Mahomes and the high-flying offense, but maybe the league caught up.
I mean, I think it goes in cycles. It goes, you know, right now, I think we just touched on it. You've got a lot of young quarterbacks. You got some older quarterbacks at the end of their run. Like, we've got Kirk Cousins trying to, you know, milk two good years out of Kirk Cousins here. But you've got guys that are just, they're just not as good. They're just not.
No.
And defense, look, let's be honest. They took everything away from the defense over the last 20 years. Remember the Patriots used to mug Marvin Harrison Sr., you know, and Reggie Wayne, those guys. And they basically, now you can't really do anything with the wide receivers other than, of course, you're the Chiefs. But anyway, Carl, it just seems like, yeah, it's just, I think some of these younger guys, don't forget, we got a lot of guys that are injured now, too. Jordan Love's not playing right now. The stats are probably stymied a certain way because Tua's out now, too. Right, there's another guy that puts up decent numbers.
Yeah, the best quarterback in the league, you're not going to like this, is Sam Darnold right now, statistically.
Right.
Okay, Sam Darnold's quarterback rating is 117. Mike, he's thrown 8 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. That's better than anybody else in the league right now, and he's got a 67, 68% completion rate.
Right.
He's playing great.
Now, Derek Carr, before last night, had a good thing. He's got 6 touchdowns, 2 picks. Sam Darnold, you just said it. The 8 touchdowns and the 2 picks. Josh Allen, by the way, we got that double dip tonight on Monday Night Football. And right now, the best quarterback rating right now is Josh Allen.
Yeah. You want to know a fun fact, too? Sam Darnold is still younger than Joe Burrow.
It's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah.
Seems like he's been around forever.
He's got time to figure it out.
All right. Well, but he's been, what, 3 places now? Right?
Yeah, he was
4
in
Jets.
Jets, Carolina, San Fran, right now Minnesota.
And that's right.
All right, real quick, cool or cheesy before we get out of here? Jason Tatum getting a full art back tattoo of himself kissing the trophy.
Wow.
Cool or cheesy?
I don't think it's cheesy. I just don't know if I'd do it, but you know what? He's a champion now.
He's got a tattoo of himself holding the trophy on his back.
It's a full art tattoo of himself kissing the trophy.
You know the dude from Steve-O from Jackass? He also has a large self-portrait on his back.
Does he really? So
that's the same class that Jason Tatum is in right now.
Steve-O from Jackass.
And he's saying, I'm cool.
Yeah. That's a bit narcissistic, if you ask me.
A little bit. A little bit. But, you know, listen, he's a champion. Can't take it away from him. But like I said, I don't know if I'd do it. A little cheesy.
All right. We'll let the audience. Maybe I'll put up a poll at Dukes and Bell 929.
Yeah,
cool,
a little
cheesy. Jason Tatum and the full.
It's breaking the rule though, like getting another man tattooed on you. What if that man is yourself?
Right. Right, dude. I played when I was in South Florida. Remember it was the movie Dodgeball and the Ben Stiller character, White Goodman, has a giant portrait of himself in his office. I had a buddy I played. Guys from South Africa. He had an oil painting of himself in his living room.
Wow.
I mean, you want to talk about an ego? Now, granted, this guy looked like DiCaprio. He was pulling a lot of wool, but I mean, seriously, that's like the crazy. No. Jason Tatum, not cool. Not cool.
All right. Well, what if Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown got one of each other on their back?
Okay, would you stop it?
All right, on that note, Horn Newman Music.
You know why Jaylen Brown's not getting one? Because he doesn't have to tell you that he's a champion.
Right, because he's comfortable in his own skin.
Tatum is almost like, he wants everybody, I'm a champion, let me take off my shirt.
I did it. I shut the critics up.
Yeah.
I'm not soft.
That's interesting.
I'm hard.
Hey, speaking of hard, UGA better be hard when it comes to this weekend. They get the Crimson Tide. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk to Connor Raleigh about the biggest matchup in the SEC next.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
I'm John Oran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.